Welcome back to Motherload Views. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We're talking about community development in Tuolumne County. We're joined by the Community Development Director, Quincy Yaley, talking about a number of issues such as building permits and projects and some proposed changes that the Board of Forestry is looking at. During this final segment, we're going to jump into the topic of Camp Hope. That's a homeless camp that is located off the Stockton Road area. We reported on it recently, some actions that the county has taken. So, Director Yaley, can you kind of explain the situation with Camp Hope and get us up to speed on things?
Yeah, thanks, BJ. So it's really important to understand that the health, safety, and welfare of county residents is a top priority for the Board of Supervisors and our staff. And that's the lens that we look at all of our code enforcement actions through. But the Camp Hope is located on an area that was historically used as a municipal burn dump site for the Sonora area. So waste was brought to the site and it was burned, and therefore the property contains burn ash, which can contain hazardous materials. In addition, the camping that's occurring on the site is not an allowed land use on that property, and there's been an accumulation of solid waste. There's been a lot of grading on the property, construction of non-permitted structures. So we have a host of violations of our local ordinance code. It has served, as everyone knows, as a location for unsheltered individuals to go. And so the county is really working with our local service providers, our housing and our homeless coordinator, and to make sure that the enforcement action that's going on the property is done in a manner where the safety and health of the residents is the primary concern.
So once the residents go away from the property, where do they go at that point?
So right now, 3 days a week in the afternoons, we have a team of individuals who are trying to offering services and relocation assistance for the unsheltered individuals on that site. That could be taking them to temporary shelter. It could include reuniting them with local family members. It could be getting them transportation to an area where they have family resources. They're also looking at providing them health services, other social services, ensuring that they're receiving any benefits that are due for them. So while the county sent enforcement notices a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago, that is sort of in the background right now while we're working with the individuals on the site. And so we issued the enforcement notices. Those were a component of our code enforcement division, as well as our local enforcement agency, which oversees our landfills. And so it was a two-pronged enforcement action between code enforcement and our local enforcement agency, which is located in our environmental health division. Those enforcement actions were taken, and then now the enforcement staff is just sort of standing back and monitoring, providing support wherever needed, while the team goes in that's helping the individuals on the site to make sure that they end up in a safe and stable housing situation.
So once the unsheltered individuals leave that location and are gone, you know, is the county still involved from the cleanup perspective afterwards?
The county will be involved through our local enforcement agency, and we receive authorization to manage and regulate landfills from the state. And so we're working closely with the state with an entity called CalRecycle to determine what is the future of that site. It will likely include fencing to some degree to ensure that individuals don't come on the property and are exposed to any hazardous materials that are on the site. It may include some type of soil remediation or capping or other types of closure methods that will prevent the hazardous materials from leaving the site or individuals who come onto the site from coming into contact with it. So we've been working on preparing for this enforcement action for many, many months. one of the reasons for why we took the enforcement action when we did was that we were able to have places to take the individuals, because we just didn't want to go in, throw up fences and, you know, kick everybody out. So now that we have resources to help individuals on that site, we can move towards getting individuals from living in a hazardous condition.
Are you able to comment like what the response has been from the homeless people who have been living on that site when you've let them know that they have to move?
You know, I think it's, I can't say for sure, can't say exactly, because I'm not a part of that team that's providing that services, but I have watched that, I have witnessed that team down there in the afternoons, working one-on-one with individuals. You know, they're taking them to a shady spot, offering them food and drink, you know, attending to any injuries that they have, giving rides to the hospital. I've watched individuals who needed medical care get taken to the hospital when they needed services. So it's very important that the process to assist the unsheltered folks at that site is slow, methodical, and thoughtful. That's the most important thing to the county right now. We'll get to the fencing and the closure sometime later this summer or early fall.
This has obviously been one of the more high-profile code enforcement, you know, responses in the county. Is your code enforcement division a pretty active one?
It is. We respond to a host of complaints, ranging from substandard housing to zoning violations or land use violations. Someone's doing something on a property they're not supposed to. We get solid waste violations. And of course, we have cannabis. We just had a cannabis enforcement on Tuesday that we were called into and now will enforce on for several hundred plants, obviously in violation of our ordinance code. We have one staff member who does those inspections and one half-time staff member who does the administration for the program. So it's we do what we can with the resources that we have. The Board of Supervisors, you know, I know has said that they would like to have a more robust program, which of course we're in favor of. And so we're hopeful that we'll be able to find funding to bring in additional enforcement staff so that we can, you know, have a good quality of life for the residents here in Tuolumne County.
And I listening to the supervisors meeting, it looks like they were discussing possibly bringing on some additional staff members with the new budget.
Yeah, that's always a gleam of hope in my eye as a department head when you get to see, you know, potential positions being added. You know, we have such a fantastic staff in the community development department. Everyone is doing more than their fair share. Everyone is working multiple jobs, and that is no truer than in our code enforcement division. They support the entire development department, and they support solid waste. They work closely with law enforcement and our engineering and grading inspectors. So they're always out and active. And, you know, I wish that we could respond faster to complaints that we get from the community, but we're working hard to develop strategies to improve those services and the code enforcement program itself so that we can get better results with the efforts that we make.
Well, we have a few more minutes left on this weekend's Motherlode Views. We've been talking about a number of specific issues with the Community Development Department. You know, for anyone unfamiliar, what is all the different aspects that your department oversees?
That's great, BJ. So we have several divisions in our, some are really well known, some are a little more quieter. Building and Safety, Environmental Health, Land Use, those are our three divisions that see a lot of public interaction. Then we have Code Enforcement. And one division that we have is Housing and Community Programs. This is a division that offers first-time homebuyer loans. It offers owner-occupied rehab loans, as well as there's some other funding sources for individuals to purchase homes and to fix up the residences that they have. So we have information on our website about that program. The challenge right now is the cost of housing. As the cost of a entry-level single-family home increases, it becomes a little bit out of reach for the program that we offer. But we're working with the state, who gives us the authority to have this program, on ways we can spend the money. We have over $1 million to spend in loaning to first-time home buyers, but the cost of housing does make that problematic. But if anyone's interested in that program, you can check out our website or give me a call, 533-5961.
Well, anything else keeping you busy with the Community Development Department these days?
Oh, you know, it's there's always something new and interesting to work on. I think the best part of the job is getting to work with the public and really trying to hone in on an individual's problem and trying to reach a solution for it. I know that our staff works hard to find solutions when faced with a sea of regulations. And you know, we don't take joy in having to, you know, sort of be the bearer of bad news of why someone can't do something. That's why we're always looking for creative ways to figure out how someone can do what they would like to do with their property.
Well, Community Development Director Yaley, we appreciate your time and thank you for coming on Mother-Lode Views.
Thank you, BJ.
Again, that was Quincy Yaley, the Community Development Director for Tuolumne County. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. We'll be back next week with more Mother-Lode Views.
You've been listening to Mother-Lode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Mother-Lode. Mother-Lode Views has been brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.